for the touch of your lips, dear, but much more for the touch of your whips, dear. You can raise welts like nobody else as we dance to the masochism tango.
Tonight on the show, hey, Senator, love your suit. It is the 1992. Do we know what year this movie came out? 91.
89. Oh.
Thanks, honey. 1991, Silence of the Lambs.
That tracks.
Yeah, no, that totally tracks. Okay, so Hillary is, we're back, man. We're back. It's February, technically, as this will air. So the girls are back. What is your background with Silence of the Lambs, Miss Hillary?
So, I talk about my dad all the time because he was the tits, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't really talk about my mom. Mm-hmm. However,
oh,
probably one of the coolest things my mother ever did was she took me to go see Silence of the Lambs in the movie theater.
Oh, you have the
on
best story.
Vacation. We were in vacation in Agunquit, Maine. My Uncle Duke, not his real name, my Aunt Benji, not her real name, and my mother, who went by Mutzi, not her real name.
Wow.
And me, who they called Little Viv.
Yeah.
All went.
Sure.
Yep, yep. That is just how the story goes.
Okay.
So I am assuming my Uncle Duke was very into like media.
Mm-hmm.
He saw the opera, he loved film, he was that guy.
Okay.
And I am sure that it was his doing that he came up with, like, hey, let's go see, this movie in theaters. So they brought me little, I must have been like 12, I guess.
Uh-huh. Okay.
To go see this movie in theaters. And I loved it, but man, did I miss so much.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
So I didn't understand
any of
a
it.
Whole lot of it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I understood that Jodie Foster was a badass.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I understood that there was a guy skinning girls because he wanted to be one, and that there was a lady in a well with a dog.
Okay. All right. I do not know when I saw this movie. I remember my parents were big readers, so they both read Red Dragon.
Uh-huh.
And they had read Silence of the Lambs. I confirmed that information with my mother recently, and she's like, "Oh no, I read the book. I didn't need to see the movie." I was like, "Okay." And so, yeah, they were big into the Thomas Harris books back in the 80s. And I don't remember when I saw this. I just know that I saw it. I was so into it. And that's it. Like, that's all I remember about it. So this was like a fifth time watch for me. Like, if I went through a drug phase where I was doing this while I was using, I don't remember.
Right, yeah.
So if I saw this in my 20s or 30s, I don't remember it. But it's still awesome, still holds up. I'm excited to talk about it. It really deserved every single Oscar that it got.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time that I saw this movie. I really couldn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing it in, like, 40-year-old eyes. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, the things that I absolutely missed on like the first viewing.
Uh-huh.
And then yeah, there was like a lot. I don't think I've watched it since I got clean.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think that I have. So yeah, and like a drug fuel it might have been on, but I again really don't remember. But like 11, 12-year-old Hillary to 47-year-old Hillary.
Woo.
We saw a different movie. Still fantastic.
Absolutely. Still fantastic, but absolutely. So we open with Jodie Foster booking it through the woods, kind of
yep.
kind of slasher-esque, right? We're thinking like she being chased. No, she is Clarice Starling. She is a recruit, if you will, at the FBI
Yeah.
Academy.
Yeah, she's a
And
cadet.
cadet, thank you. Thank you, thank
Yeah.
you for that. And it's interesting because she gets into this elevator, right? Because she's going off to
Jack
meet
Crawford's office.
Jack Crawford's office, and she gets in this elevator full of dudes, and it's so funny because everybody knows she is tougher than all 10 of the men in this elevator. And she,
And so much smaller.
oh, so
Like,
tiny!
yeah,
Oh
like I
my God!
loved like the juxtaposition of, you know, everybody know like she a badass, but also we want to fuck her. And just like it was very, I mean, I've never, you know, seen a movie like this, but it was like little white girl on the couch and, you know, like
Oh
six dudes
yeah.
like looking down on her.
Yep, a little
Yeah,
bit.
I've never seen a movie like that, but you know,
No,
I've
I
seen a meme or two,
don't
but
know this Brazzers world you speak of. But yeah, so she but she does she is this sort of object of desire for a lot of people in this
everyone in the
movie. Let's
movie,
throw this out there.
literally everyone in the movie is trying to put it in Jodie Foster.
Absolutely, but she's great in this film because she just kind of holds her ground. She's very focused on the task at hand. You know, she's got that fantastic, you know, butch lesbian energy, you know, like she's fantastic. She's Jodie Foster, right? So we meet Jack Crawford, played by Scott Glenn. Scott Glenn studied very famous criminologist John Douglas to do this part, and made the mistake of telling John Douglas, "Hey, man, I'm playing a character like you in this film." And John Douglas said, "Oh, you want to do what I do?" And he's like, "I do." And he said, "Okay," and had him listen to, I think it's 15 minutes of the Bittaker Norris rape
Oh.
torture tape. Yes, because they use
Why did
that.
he, yeah, why did he give it, why start him there?
They use that to desensitize their FBI agents in the school. So
Didn't he throw him a bone in the beginning?
he just had it, you know, like it just, he was like, "Hey, hang on a second. I got you, boo." And listen to it. Scott Glenn burst into tears and then changed his stance on the death penalty. That is an actual story. That is an actual thing that happened.
Jesus Christ. Don't start with Bittaker and Norris or the
Bro.
fucking David Parker Ray fucking toy box
Right.
psycho.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
So
that is not a starting point. Sorry.
Yeah, John Douglas. Don't want to meet him in a back alley. Holy shit. So,
Or for drinks.
or for drinks or just to say hi. So she's walks into Jack Crawford's office and she sees a bulletin board that has the different articles as well as crime scene photos for a killer they are trying to find called Buffalo Bill. And she takes her sideswept 90s bangs. And she goes in there and talks to Jack Crawford, and Jack Crawford says, "You know, hey, we want you to go interview this serial killer by the name of Hannibal Lecter." She refers to him as Hannibal, the cannibal. And you know, and that's all she gets at this point. Like, she doesn't understand why, just that she's going in to interview him. Very similar to Mindhunter, because very
Yeah.
similar to like, "Here, I'm going to give you this questionnaire. I just want you to answer these questions for me. I am a student."
Yeah. Just
Yeah.
fill this out, you know, very, yeah, very, we're just trying to, you know, get information, you know, very nothing, you know, she even asks, like, you know, does this have anything to do with Buffalo Bill? And he was just like, I don't even think he's going to talk to you, but, you know, I just got to be able to cross my T's and dot my I's and say that I tried, and
Right,
you know,
like,
it sounds very much like a fool's errand.
Yes, indeed it
Yeah.
does. So she ends up at this Baltimore mental hospital, which, fun fact, is actually not in Baltimore. Most of this movie was actually shot in Pittsburgh. So go
Yeah, that
figure.
tracks.
And she meets, oh, Dr. Chilton. Dr. Chilton, who in the book actually makes sexual advances towards her. In the movie, he's just 18 different shades of creepy.
Yeah, like
So
he just kind of asks her out of just like,
yeah.
you know, city's
Hey.
great if you've got the right tour
Tour
guide.
guide, hey, you know,
She's like,
and
nah, I gotta get back.
yeah, she's
Yeah.
like, I have a job to do, you creepy fuck. So she goes
But she's
in.
also very charming
Oh,
because
she's, yeah.
she doesn't like just be like her face doesn't respond to like fucking gross. It
No,
like,
she's actually, she has very soft features
yes.
when she responds.
Yes, and she like flips like the charming back on the like, and she does it with everybody throughout like the whole movie. I really noticed that with like 40-year-old eyes, you know, where like when people like come at her, you know, like she doesn't like respond, she isn't flattered, she isn't disgusted, she just has this like very Southern Belle kind of like way of like just. It's so smooth the way she just like disarms people of just, you know, I'm not staying in town. I need to get back, you know, and have this report in by 0900. You know, like even with the accent, oh, she's so good.
Yeah, 'cause she's not flirting, and
No.
she's not necessarily you know, she's not using her sexuality as far
Not at
as, you
all.
know, to get
She
anywhere.
is dressed up. She does not bat her lashes. She doesn't giggle to even like, you know, break the uncomfortability of it. Like she is like what every like feminist like wants to be, like if they've deconstructed enough.
Which is interesting because that you mentioned this, and you bring this up. This film has been accused of several things. I mean, granted, like 1991, obviously, but like one of the things that this film is accused of is being misogynistic in the sense that like I mean, is Bill misogynistic? Is all the men in this film misogynistic? Yes, absolutely. But her character, you know, they basically kind of say like, oh, well, she kind of flirts with feminism, and I'm or she yeah she flirts with feminism, and I'm like, nah, bitch, she is feminism.
Yeah, she
Like,
is working in an industry. She's not using any sort of sexuality. She's not overly aggressive. She like doesn't hate men. She is very, very smart and ambitious. And most dudes are creepy. And if the misogyny is coming from serial killers, like
yeah, come on now.
because it like one of them is, you know, just hates himself and wants to be a woman, and that's a different psychological profile. But even Hannibal Lecter, he respects her in
Absolutely.
like his in his own serial killer-esque kind of way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
From an intellectual standpoint, I
Yes.
believe he views her as an equal, but we're not there yet. Because trust me, he tests her like a
Multiple
motherfucker.
times. Oh, multiple times.
So he, you know, so she comes in, she meets him, and she gets the, you know, the lay of the land. Don't touch the glass. Don't pass him things. Definitely don't give him a pen. That's a no-no.
Or a paper with staples,
Or
a
paper with
paper clip.
staples. Yeah,
Yeah.
none of that. Because he is that good. So she's walking, and a really a very creepy inmate says something incredibly offensive and gross to her, and when she arrives to talk to Hannibal, you know, prods her, and he's like, you know, what did, you know, Miggs, what did Miggs say to you? And she says,
I can smell your cunt.
yes, and he says, I myself cannot, which
The,
is so gross.
yeah, I just, you know, and she says it just straight faced. But that opening scene, I don't know. I saw something about this. Like there was a whole lot of like talks and discussion and filming of what Lecter was going to be doing when she walks up on him, and you know, it like he it was crazy faces and you know, hanging on the glass and just like whatever. And again, you know, I don't know where fact checker Frankie is, but
I was gonna say, fact checker Frankie, dude,
yeah,
you're gonna have
you'll
your
have
work
your
cut
work cut
out
out
for
for
you
you.
on this one.
But it was Anthony Hopkins who was just like, just have him standing there, almost like he's been waiting for her, like this whole, for his whole sentence, like that he's just been there, not doing anything, just standing there, just waiting, just like waiting, you know, like a cat waiting for prey, like feed me, serve me something. And just that scene of just like, we're finally meeting Lecter, we're finally meeting Lecter. And he's just standing there and he looks like a harmless older man. You know, it just so disarming, like how he looks to what he really is. Movie's full of juxtaposition for
It
me. I'm
really
so in
is.
love
It's
with this movie.
wild, man. It's wild. So then, you know, she kind of tells him like, "Hey, I'm from the academy," and he's like, "Oh," he's like, "Jack Crawford sent a trainee." And he mocks her. He mocks her. You know, he says, "Thrill me with your acumen." And he makes fun of her accent. He actually mirrors it back to her. So he's, but she does not break. She does
Doesn't
not
flinch.
flinch. She does not break. And that is how she wins him, because then he's like, okay, you know, he's like, you want advancement? I will give you advancement. You know, even though I am telling you that I think you're poor white trash, I will absolutely, you know, leave, you know, let leave the questionnaire and I'll take care of it. Bye. You know, so she leaves, and oh God. Unfortunately, on her way out, and this is in the book, so this is not, this was, you know, it's not like they were like, "Hey, you know what we could do to Jodie Foster that would be really gross." But she's on her way out, and Miggs is masturbating, and flings come on her, you know,
Which
like
I
you do.
totally missed at 11. Had no idea what was happening.
Oh, what did you? Oh, you probably didn't even, it didn't
I
even
did not
register.
like, yeah, like he threw something at her and I got that. But that is when Lecter like calls her
Her
back.
back.
Yep, calls her back and, you know, says, a patient of mine, Moffitt, that's who you need to go talk with.
There it is.
You know, I despise rudeness.
I despise rudeness, and here's the information, right?
Yep.
So gives her the information, and she ends up at a self-storage facility. Here's another great thing. Like, she goes to this storage facility. This guy leads her into it, and he's like, "I despise personal, you know, I despise any kind of physical labor." And she's like, "Fuck it, give me a jack." She jacks that thing up in the middle. It is dark. And then gives this guy her business
Business
card
card.
and says, "Hey, something's gonna happen to me in here. Please call Jack Crawford at the academy."
Yeah, like people know that I'm here, but I'm also all alone and by myself. So if this door falls on me, I get trapped in here. You know, there's some booby trap, whatever, and I'm just not making it out. Please call my boss and just let him know I'm not coming to work and I'm dead in a storage facility.
Absolutely. She's a self-made hero in this film. Like, she is athletic. She uses a jack, which I don't even, don't get me started. She sneaks under the storage locker by herself. And this is great. She actually finds, what does she find, Hillary?
She finds a hearse that has like a tea party in the back of mannequins. And I was just like, I would have a field day in this fucking storage facility. And then underneath this like red velvet cloth is a very large bottle of formaldehyde with a human head in it.
Yep.
And I don't know how they got the human head in the bottle, because
In the
it's not
bottle.
like, yeah, it's not like a screw-on lid. It's like the ship in a bottle. And I get you build the ship inside the bottle and like whatever, but you can't build a human head inside of a glass jar. I'm very curious how it got in the glass jar. But that's what it is. We have a human head in a glass jar. So what do? We got to go back and talk to Lecter.
Gotta go back and talk to Lecter. And, Lecter gives her information, but he also likes to code it. Like,
Yeah.
'cause he knows she's smart and he knows that she'll figure it out. And trust me, man, if some poor girl was kidnapped and her life depended on me determining or deciphering a riddle, sorry, baby.
I can bring the riddle home to my husband, and he is absolutely going to figure out the riddle if I can get him to care. So it's got to be like, hey, you solve this riddle, blow job at the end. If I just tell him like, hey, there's a riddle, man, there's a girl's life at danger. Meh, I'm playing Pokemon or whatever I'm doing. But if I'm just like, blow job at the end of the riddle,
Bingo.
oh yeah, we're
Yeah,
yeah,
now we're cooking.
yeah, we're gonna go save that fucking girl's life.
Yes.
You're not wrong.
We see the lovely Miss Brooke Smith driving in her car listening to American Girl,
Aunt Petty's American Girl.
a song that now takes on a completely different meaning if you've seen this movie. And she is pulls into her apartment. She's gonna feed her cat, and she
This
notices
cat.
this poor cat. She notices that there is a man, the lovely Mr. Ted Levine, trying to put a couch by himself into a van
With a broken arm.
with a broken arm, very Bundy.
Very Bundy.
So actually, this movie, the book was written 88, 89. And so the Thomas Harris based this killer on equal parts Ted Bundy and Ed Gein. So, and also, you said it before, Charles, the pit killer, the toy box killer.
Oh, David Ray Parker.
I mean, David Ray Parker. Yeah, they all have fucking three names. Okay,
Yeah.
so this is also a modus operandi for Bundy, where he would, pretend to be hurt, owned Plaster of Paris so he could make his own casts and, get the sympathy of someone. And in this case, she goes up to him and he says something very odd, but a very important plot point in this film. Are you like a size 14? And then shoves her into the van.
Yeah, it looks like he's got like the tire iron in the cast, same Bundy way,
Absolutely. Hits her
hits her over
in
the
the head.
head. And what I did find interesting with 40-year-old eyes, is where Catherine lives doesn't look like a nice area.
No, it actually does not look like a nice area at all. And if you notice, he's actually been watching.
Oh,
So,
yeah.
because he has those night goggles and he, like most serial killers, like they stalk their prey,
Yeah,
right?
no, they hunt.
So he knew she lives alone, where she
With a cat
is with a
who's
cat.
standing at the window watching his dinner go away. Did anybody ever feed the cat? I worry about this
I
cat.
don't know. I don't know. Also, my big question here was when he took her shirt off, when he cut her shirt, and then he was like, ooh, important to point out, Buffalo Bill is not a sexual predator. He's literally just doing it for the skin, if you know what I mean.
He's
And
got some skin in the game.
that is not a euphemism, people. But yeah, my main comment, my takeaway from the scene was I was like, oh, that shirt is no, no.
Yeah, not what you should be wearing, baby girl.
Girl, come
Yeah,
on.
girl.
Like,
Yeah, like
damn
you
it.
shouldn't be like kidnapped and everything, but like we need to go to Fashion Nova.
Seriously, I'm
Get
sitting,
you
dude.
all dolled up.
Girl, set you up at Torrid. Like, just
Yeah.
seriously, they can make you over. It's good. So Starling gets called to West Virginia, and a body has been found. And this is when Jack Crawford reveals to her, like, yeah, I sent you in there. I had a ulterior motive to talk to Hannibal. This is it. This is about the Buffalo Bill case. And so kind of lets her know that. And she's a little excited about this because she's like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I'm actually doing something. I'm not just giving a questionnaire to a psycho.
Yeah, initially she's just like, I mean, like I asked you, and he was like, if I'd sent you in with an agenda,
He would have known.
he would have known, he would have toyed with you for a second, shut up, and like shut you down.
Absolutely.
I couldn't, and like you can kind of see it like start clicking, and she is trusting Crawford, like more of just like, all right, I'm gonna like follow your play. You are, you know, the Jack Crawford, and I am a cadet, and like I am on board with this mission, like, you know, send me in, coach.
Yeah. Absolutely. So they go to examine the body of this girl, Frederica Bimmel, and she is also then kind of put into a situation where she has to talk to a group of good old boys, who are, policemen, sure. And kind of tell them, like, hey, you guys have done a bang up job, good bones. We're here to take over. So go on now.
Yeah, Jack Crawford, when they initially walk in, he tells like the head deputy or whatever, just like, you know, there's certain aspects of this case that I don't want to talk about in front
In
of a
front of a
woman.
woman.
And then like they kind of like the elders go into like the other room to talk, and then they're in the autopsy room, and there's just like the body on a table, you know, everybody's drinking coffee and like
Yeah,
talking
everybody's
around, and
just
she's
kind
like,
of,
now
yeah, like every everybody's
get.
just like kibitzing. Like
Yeah.
they're all drinking coffee and they're like, look at this body.
Yeah.
So they're doing the actual autopsy, and she's taking pictures and, doing her whatever that's called, where they talk about whatever they're doing. Hey, fact checker Frankie, if you've got me, Terminator, please come and tell me exactly what this is
Monologue.
called.
Yeah, the voice recording
Yeah,
monologue of,
monologue thing, right?
yeah.
So she notices in one of the pictures that there's something in the back of her throat. And the
Which I did not see, FYI.
oh no, until when the
Like,
picture
'cause they
came.
show you like they're, oh, there's something in her throat. Like, look at the picture. And I was like trying to pause it, and I'm going, I don't fucking see anything in her throat. It looks like a dead girl's mouth.
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of Twin Peaks when they're examining like Teresa's body, right? And they're like,
Yeah.
there appears to be a letter underneath her fingernail. Really? How the fuck did you
Right.
know
Yeah. It's
that?
very, trust me, bro.
You're much better at this than me. So they, you know, she goes inside, she gets it, and she's like, it's a cocoon. And she puts it in a little glass and she goes down to the
Etymology?
entomology place, where we meet mine and Slink's favorite character, the bug guy. I these two guys, I love that. I wish they had a show, really. So
They're playing bug chess.
they're playing bug chess, and they're back and forth, and the one, they're kind of talking at the same time, and of course, dude with weird wandering eye. Like I said, not being sexual, dude has an actual wandering eye. Says, hey, you ever go out for cheeseburgers and beer? And she just whoo, just like she redirects it in a kind, endearing way that is not, it's not misandry. It's not, hey, I'm not in the dick business. It's just like, no, I am here to find out about this, but thank you for the compliment.
Yeah, very like,
Right?
thank you for the offer, but
No.
I always have something else to do.
No, here's
Yeah,
the
no, she's
yeah. Yep.
so great. And I mean, the fact that like everybody wants to fuck Jodie Foster.
Everybody in this
Everybody.
film wants to
Yeah.
fuck Jodie Foster. Like, it doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if
Yeah.
it's Jack. It doesn't matter if it's bug
Lecter,
guy,
it doesn't.
Lecter.
Probably the only one that like was not gonna be interested was Buffalo Bill, realistically.
Let's yeah, absolutely. So, I love this scene because the guy, the guy cuts open the cocoon and he goes, "It's a death's head moth," and he gets super excited about this, and he says, "Yo, they're come from Asia. You have to fly them in." And he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Someone fed this guy honey and nightshade. Someone loved him."
Someone loved him.
I was like, "That guy's awesome." Like,
Yeah, no, yeah, they're
there's just
so in the, seeing people geek out over their hobbies is
ooh.
probably one of my like most favorite things on the planet of just,
Absolutely.
yeah, I love seeing people just enjoy their weirdness. I don't care if it's Magic the Gathering, I don't care if it's horror movies. I don't care what it is, but just watching somebody totally nerd out is the best.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. So it turns out that the girl, the size 14 wearing the bad shirt, who was kidnapped by
Catherine with
Buffalo
the
Bill,
hungry kitty.
Catherine, it's Catherine Martin, daughter of Ruth Martin, the senator.
Who lived in a bad part of town? This was my disconnect.
Yeah, that is
Why
the
does
one.
the senator's daughter live in the bad side of town wearing clothes from Dress Barn?
Oh, ouch. Yeah. Or Fashion
Right?
Bug. Maybe Fashion Bug
Yeah.
a little bit. Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, she like,
No.
no, she's not shopping there.
Yeah. No, if you're
Yeah,
the
that.
daughter of a senator, unless it was a situation where she had broken ties with the senator and she had
But then
wanted to.
her senator mom wouldn't have stepped up the way that like she did.
Absolutely, absolutely true. So, because now this has become not just,
Another girl
another
is missing, and
girl is
we don't
missing.
care.
It's like, oh no, it's the
Senator's daughter, we.
white
Yep,
daughter of
it's a
a
rich
yeah.
white girl on the wrong side of town, but
Uh-oh.
okay.
Yeah,
But
that's fair.
yeah, the now we're in the ear of the president. Now we really give a shit.
Now, exactly. Now we're calling the dogs in, right? So, Jodie Foster goes to Lecter and says, "Hey, if I if you help me with this Buffalo Bill case,
And we get to Catherine alive.
alive, you can go to Plum Island." And she shows him this like brochure and everything, and you can walk on the beach,
One
and
week a year under SWAT
yeah,
surveillance.
it's like it's and even I know this is bullshit,
Yeah.
but he's like, huh. He goes, "Okay, but I have a demand of my own, and that is quid pro quo. If I give you information, you have to give me information." Very manipulative, very much about what's your worst childhood memory, and
And they
very.
say in the very beginning of just like, don't give him anything about you. You do not want him in your
In
head.
your head. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, but she's thinking, she's like, okay, if this is what he wants,
Yeah, and this is how we got to get Catherine.
and
And somehow he was able to talk to the guy that threw cum on her face
oh, and kill him.
and got him dead with just talking to
To
him through the wall.
swallow his own tongue. Yes, that is
Yeah.
what happened to Cum Flipper. Cum
Yeah.
Flipper swallowed his own tongue. Yes.
Yeah, because he was rude and disrespectful to
That's
Jodie
right.
Foster. And yeah, what did he say? I don't know. But yeah, got him to kill himself by swallowing his own tongue.
Absolutely. So,
Definitely not a guy you want in your brain.
no, totally not a guy you want. But so he gives him, so the information we find out is that Jodie Foster's father was a
He was a
deputy
marshal. A
marshal.
deputy marshal, sheriff, he was a
Right.
cop.
He was a cop. He ended up getting killed. She ended up going to live at her aunt and uncle's farm,
Ranch in Montana.
ranch in Montana, and
His mom died when she was little. Dad was the whole world. He
right.
surprised two burglars. He was killed. She got shipped out to a farm. Did he sodomize you?
Right, I know. Like he goes right into it, and she's like, "No, he was a very gentle man. Like
Yeah, he
hey,
was a good man. You
right."
only stayed there for 2 months. Why?
Why? And then she gets, Chilton comes in, and whoo, so. She leaves, and but before she leaves, he does tell her, if Buffalo Bill believes himself to be a transsexual, words that were used in this film, don't come at me. He probably applied for sexual reassignment surgery and was turned down.
Because he is not a transsexual, he just hates himself.
He just hates himself. Yes. So this film has also been accused of being transphobic. Just throw that out there. And he basically says, start looking at that kind of thing. So then we cut to probably one of the most famous memes that this film has produced. Buffalo Bill is standing over a deep dark hole where Catherine is in the bottom,
Yeah.
and he is holding a Bichon Frise, just like Murphy, by the name of Precious. Precious is played by Darla, who was the most famous dog of, honestly, of the 80s and 90s. Darla played in Coming to America, Silence of the Lambs, Batman Returns, Big Top Pee Wee, and of course, The Burbs.
Oh, the burbs.
Right? Absolutely. So, Darla, I'm Team Precious here. So he's holding this dog and telling, Catherine, put the lotion. I'm gonna take, the lotion is coming down. It rubs the lotion on its skin, or else it gets the hose again. It does this whenever it's told.
Yes.
And
Heavy with the, it pronoun, because this is not a girl. This
No.
is not a person. This
Nope.
is skin.
This is skin. That's
Yeah,
all it is to him.
this is an animal that I need to, just like you wouldn't name your cattle,
Right.
because you're
Exactly.
going to kill it and eat it later.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's not, Bobby the cow. Like, I can't make an emotional attachment to you. So it was heavy on the. And also, Senator Martin is having, the press conferences of just like talking about Catherine and what a powerful man you are. And you still have kindness and empathy. And it's all in your hands. And, we are at your bidding, like, sir. Like, she is so smart with and baby pictures of Catherine. And, Catherine is kind and caring. And Catherine's not even going to be mad at you. I'm not mad at you. Like, just her speech was brilliant.
And using her name over and
Over
over and
and
over again.
over.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we flash back to, we cut back to the hospital because Chilton is a piece of shit. Chilton then tells Lecter that Clarice was lying and there is no deal, but there's a deal now. And because I am a genius, I have brokered a deal with the senator to give you these privileges or whatever. And he says, okay, but he goes, but my request is I tell the senator the rest of the information in Tennessee myself.
Yep.
Or Pittsburgh. Anyway, so he goes to, then we cut to the head of the FBI, Roger Corman, and Roger Corman calls, Jack Crawford and says, "Hey, did you send a trainee to talk to Hannibal, and did she make a deal with him?" And he's like, "Not that I know of." And he's like, "Well, we're kind of in trouble here."
Yeah, Senator Martin is pissed, and there is a deal now. No, Jack Crawford backs her, and he goes, "Yeah, no, I did that."
Oh yeah, no, he does say that he sent her in. I don't know, but did he know about the deal or was that from her brain? I don't know. I don't know.
Yes. No, without a doubt. Without a doubt, it came from him.
Oh,
She
okay.
added the on the island portion. That was her. She owns that.
Okay.
But the you're going to get a transfer, you're going to have a view, it's coming from the senator, all of those things. She added the you get to walk on the beach, for a week out of the year.
Okay.
Because he even asks her later.
Okay, all right. Wow, you fact-checked me. I like that.
Yeah. It will probably never happen again in
Never
2026. But
happens.
so let's start the year off strong, guys. It's downhill from here.
So they wheel in Hannibal with his, signature mask, and this is actually one of my favorite monologues in the film. And he says, Buffalo's Bill's real name is Lewis Friend, this and this and this. And then he decides to fuck with the senator, where he says, "Did you breastfeed her?" And her lackey goes, "Wait a second." And she's like, No. She goes, "I'm gonna answer this question." And she says, "I did. Why?" And he says, "Toughened your nipples, didn't it? Tell me, Mum, when your little girl is on the slab, where will it tickle you?" And she says, "Take this thing back to Baltimore.
Yeah,
We're done
get this
here."
thing out of my face.
That's right. So Clarice goes to visit Hannibal Lecter. Nobody has informed, by the way, the security detail downstairs that Clarice is not allowed to see
Yeah, no.
Lecter anymore. So we get this really fucking awesome setup, man. Like, Slink pointed out that it looks like the inside of a school gymnasium, where this just cage is
Yeah, almost
just
like
in
a
the
bird
middle.
cage. This huge human-sized bird cage,
Huge
which, you know,
cage.
gets him out of this like dungeon cell. And, you know, he has like a tape recorder of opera music. He has access to books.
There's all his drawings are in there. So she goes in, she calls his bluff. She says, "Yeah, I mean, you said his name is Lewis Friend. Lewis Friend, i.e. iron sulfide, fool's gold, In the book, it's actually Billy Rubin, as in bilirubin, which is bile. So, yeah, I know. Really well played, Thomas Harris. Well played. So he says, he t basically says, okay, so that's not his real name, right? But he covets. How do we begin to covet? We covet what we see every day. So now she's got it in her head. She's like, okay, so he knows her. He knows her, right? He knows the victim, right? Okay. So then Hannibal is like, okay, last chance here. Gotta get some information. Why did you leave the ranch? And Hillary, why did she leave the ranch?
One morning, very early, Clarice, little baby Clarice, woke up and heard screaming. And she walked out, you know, to the barn, and it was so cold. And Dad was slaughtering, or Uncle was slaughtering the lambs, and they were screaming. And I went, and I had to go help, and I opened the pen, and none of them ran. They all just stood there looking at me, not knowing what to do. And I thought if I could just save one. So I grabbed one and I ran. And I ran only a few miles, but he was so heavy. He was so heavy that I just, well, then what happened? You know, they got me and, you know, they brought me to an orphanage. I couldn't stay there anymore. And what happened to the lamb? They killed it anyway. So it was all for nothing.
All for nothing. And then at that moment, Chilton comes in and says, "Okay, end of
Get her out of here.
interview. Get her out of here." So it's dinner time for Hannibal, which is an interesting scene here. And much like Snoop Dogg, he's been thinking up a master plan. And this
Bo
master
show.
plan, it is amazing.
Yeah, no, when I saw this at 11, fascinated.
Of
Eyes
course.
glued on the screen, blown away.
So he uses a pen that he has somehow absconded with from Chilton to free himself from his handcuffs, beats the crap out of both of the guards, and it's an amazing scene because it's bloody,
It is brutal.
it is set to
And the guards
box
are very
music.
nice.
The guards
Yeah,
are, yeah, no, the guards are nice.
in Chilton, you know, there was like the orderly Barney, and he was fantastic. But overall, like the people at Chilton were kind of shitty. The prison guards in this like beautiful made prison for Hannibal Lecter, they treated him very well. You know, he was still a prisoner, but they were just like, all right, you know, dinner time, you know, assume the position. And he puts like his hands like through the bird cage for them to handcuff him, and he's got the pen in between his fingers. And like, so, he's going to escape. And as he handcuffs, the one guard, to the cage, it's like, oh, okay, he's making his escape, the obvious, but the brutality could, like, 'cause you can talk about Hannibal Lecter and how he killed, his victims and ate them and did all of this, but he is so charming and so, like, you needed to see that other side. Otherwise, you're just gonna root for Hannibal. Like, even though he's a Hannibal the cannibal, whatever, without the visual of why I don't want this guy free, and then him going, he beats the fuck out of these two and then goes back to listening to opera. And then just, as the song ends and he's doing like a composium and just,
And
they
he's
talk about it,
covered in blood.
covered in blood. And they talk about it when he attacked the nurse at Chilton, his heart rate never got above 85.
Right.
Like he is in his element, enjoying his life, and then just opens the knife, like, all right, it's time. And you just, like, you don't need to stab them, like they're bloody pulps already.
Exactly. We don't know what's going on. We just know it's gonna be brutal, right? So the cops notice that somebody is in the elevator. And that's odd because nobody else has checked in.
Yeah, the
So
elevator's going up to five. Lecter's on five. What?
they go up to the, up on five, and they see one of the guards has been hung from the rafters, basically, and gutted.
Yeah, strung up like an
Right?
angel,
And disemboweled.
disemboweled. I mean, the amount of time that this would take, I don't know that this
Amazing
is like
amount
really
of time.
feasible,
Yeah.
feasibly possible,
Is
but the
it?
visual of it is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like the logistics in my brain, I went, this would take
A
so
lot
long.
of time,
Or
right?
by
But
yourself.
he's Hannibal.
I
So
know you're Hannibal and you're like brilliant, but I
right,
still think
but
this would take hours, even with brilliance and strength.
so they see one of the cops on the floor is coughing, and they know that he's alive. So they go to try to talk to him, and they're like, okay, we got to get you in an
You're gonna make it.
ambulance.
You're gonna make it.
You're gonna make it, just talking to him, trying to keep him talking, right?
Yep.
So
Lecter has escaped, but we got one still alive. We can't
absolutely.
find him,
We
but
and we go up to the elevator, and when they're going up, they notice that there is blood dripping from the top of the elevator. So they open up the elevator and they see Hannibal's body just laying there, not moving. They do the, fire a warning shot, wound the leg, not moving. So Hannibal is dead, or so we think. Because then, well, Chris Isaac shows up. I mean, that does happen,
Wicked game.
but
Yeah.
Wicked Game shows up, and we cut to the ambulance where they're talking about, we have a male and da 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 da, and the person on the gurney takes their face off, and it's Hannibal, and he slaughters whoever's in that ambulance and gets away. Because he has taken the reason that he did have a straight razor was so he could remove the face of the cop and then wear it. It's so good. Oh, God, that
Change the clothes out, threw the cop in the Lecter clothes on top of the elevator. They are rescuing the other cop, putting him in the ambulance. And you hear it, like, we're on our way to whatever hospital, we've got him, trauma everywhere, face bloody, pouring blood, this and that, heart rate a steady 90.
Yeah, amazing,
And that's when
amazing.
he sits, and you hear it over the thing again, and they're just like, heart rate is 90?
And
And
boom.
just like the
Yep.
sit up. Oh, and this one, yeah, at 11, jaw
Woo.
on the floor.
Absolutely. One of the what amazing, really
Yeah, yeah,
amazing
this is
scene.
probably one of the best. Like, I is it a twist? I don't know, but it like shock things going on. This is absolutely one of the best I've ever seen. This is in a top 10 for me.
No. So, at this point, Clarice knows that Hannibal has gone free. Her friend's like, are you sure he's not
You
going to come
need to
after you?
hide, and now he's
Right.
not going to go after
He's
me.
not
He'd
going to go after
consider
me.
it rude.
He would consider it rude.
Yep.
She's like, I can't explain it, but I just know the way that his brain works at this
Yeah,
point.
he's
So
not coming after me. I gotta find Bill, though.
she goes to Ohio and she interviews, some friends of one of the
The
deceased
first victim.
girls, the first
Yeah, the
victim,
first girl.
Frederica.
Yep.
And she finally figures out that, because Frederica was a seamstress and somehow became acquainted with another seamstress. Is it a seamstress if it's a dude?
Seamster.
Seamster? Sure. We'll go with
A
that.
tailor.
A tailor, right? So she obviously has had some sort of an interaction with someone, and then Jodie Foster figures out he's like he must be making a woman. He's making
Yeah.
a
Yeah,
suit.
he sees the patterns.
Right. She
She,
sees the
yeah,
patterns.
and
Yep.
it's the same cuts that
Right.
are in all of the victims.
And then
And she calls Crawford.
she calls Crawford, and Crawford's like, no, we got
Yeah, we
this.
got
Like,
him. Jamie
guys,
Gum.
Jamie Gum, also known John Grant,
Yep.
we're headed to his house now. Why don't you stay in Ohio and interview some more people?
Yeah, she's like, I could be there in 4 hours. No need.
Right.
Great work, but the boys got it from here. Talk to a neighbor, go down to the cafe, have lunch.
Right. Absolutely.
What,
So
good job, little miss.
yeah, great job, right? So we cut to, the hole, where Catherine has a really great idea, where she is going to take a bone. I'm not really sure where the bone came from. Like, I'm like thinking, I'm like, it probably is one of the girls that was like just.
No, Buffalo Bill threw her down some scraps
Oh, it
just
was
to,
scraps? Okay.
yeah, because
Okay.
she was just like, you feed me fucking scraps and whatever. Well, I got something for you.
Okay. Oh, good for you paying attention. So she ties the bone and tries to get Precious to come down the hole. Meanwhile, Buffalo Bill's doing a little tuck and roll, sets a goodbye horses.
Oh, such. This is
Woo!
the scene.
And
This is the scene.
now it's interesting to point out that Ted Levine, after this film, like during the film, he studied serial killers. He did all that. He got real dark, right? After the film, he decided that he wanted to distance himself from that particular role. He did not want to be typecast, so gained a bunch of weight and ended up on a show called Monk. Was in Wonderland. I think he's in Fast and the Furious because
I mean, who isn't?
I
You
know.
know, I feel like I started one of the Fast and the
Right.
Furious.
But
18, I think.
I remember, unfortunately, seeing Fast and the Furious with, I believe, my brother, and I remember hearing that voice and going, dude, is that Buffalo Bill? Right? Like,
No, he is.
like he's a cop in Fast and the Furious. Anyway, that voice is distinctive,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah,
So
it was hard for me to watch Monk for a long time because
I
I would
know, I'm
just
like,
be like, you go
ooh,
home and dance.
holy shit, bro. Yeah, where's Goodbye Horses? Where is it?
Where's your kimono?
So Catherine manages to get Precious down there. So she's basically holding Precious for ransom at this point. And she says, hey, she broke her foot on the way down. She's hurt.
She's
She
hurt
needs
real
a
bad.
vet. And he says, don't you hurt my dog. And she's like, don't you make me hurt your dog. And I'm like,
Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
no,
girl.
Catherine
Get it,
is,
girl.
yeah. I love the actress who plays Catherine.
Oh,
She, yeah.
Brooke Smith is fantastic. She actually ended up on Grey's Anatomy. She's done so much acting since then, and she's fantastic. No, she's
Yeah,
great.
she always is a fucking stay. I will watch something when I see that face. I
Absolutely.
don't know that she is Brooke Smith. That doesn't register. That is Catherine
Right,
always and
absolutely.
forever. And when I
Forever.
see Catherine, like, oh, Catherine's in a new show, I'm like, it's gonna be good.
Cool.
That bitch
Yeah.
can act her ass off.
Throwing it out there. So there's a so you see that the FBI has surrounded what they think is Buffalo Bill's house, and they're ringing the doorbell incessantly. And the doorbell suddenly starts ringing at actual Buffalo Bill's house, and he's like, whoa, that's odd. So he goes upstairs, and it's Jodie Foster at the door because it turns out the FBI went to the wrong goddamn house.
Yeah, well, because they're looking for Jamie Gum.
Right. So they
And
think
it's.
they're at somebody else's house somewhere in, I don't know where they are actually.
Yep, he
So
never left.
Maryland, I think they're in Maryland and she's in
Sure.
Ohio. Right. So
She is in Ohio. And.
he answers the door and she's talking to him and she says, She says, "Do you, you know, do
No,
you
the
know
Lippmans.
the Littmans?" Now, in the book, it's obvious that he actually killed Mrs. Littman. So,
Oh, okay.
and took the house. So he did not buy the house from Mrs. Littman. He actually killed Mrs. Littman. In the movie, it's not said that. It's basically said that like he just bought the house from the Littmans. And he's like, "Well, you know, the Littmans don't live here anymore." He's like, "But I think they had a son." He's like, "But I have a card, you know," or whatever. So she's talking about the case when they're at the door, right? And, you know, and he goes, "Oh," he's like, "is she like a great big fat person?" And
Yeah.
yeah, I know, that's one of my favorite lines. And she goes, "She was a big girl, yes, sir."
Yeah.
I was like, she was not.
No, yeah, size 14 is not a great big fat
For
person, but okay.
1991, apparently she was a whale.
Yeah, well,
But
Kate Moss, a size 14,
Oh,
absolutely.
shame
Yeah,
on you, right? Yeah.
absolutely.
Oh, God.
Heroin chic was
Yes.
so popular.
Such a big deal back then. So she goes inside this house and she's kind of looking around, a total, you know, a hoarder's paradise, if you will.
Yeah.
But she notices two very important things. Number one, she sees moths. And number two, she sees a sewing kit and she is immediately in warrior mode. She's like, "All
Yeah.
right, let's do this. Okay, I know what I need to do." So they have a standoff. You know, she pulls her gun. She tells him, you know, "Stay where you are." And of course, he runs off. She ends up in a room with a bathtub filled with, I don't even know what is in that bathtub. I am guessing that is. It's slime and
Skeletal
blackness,
remains. Yeah.
skeletal
I'm
remains.
assuming that that is supposed to then be Mrs. Littman,
Oh.
if he killed her, but you would have smelled that initially walking in. But it's just like
Wow.
melted body
Yes.
and of just viscera. And
Yep.
that's supposed to be Mrs. Littman.
So then the lights are out. He puts on night vision goggles. This is one of those fantastic scenes. It's a lot of suspense because it's totally blackness and only
Yeah,
you
because he
see
got her.
her. Right.
Yeah, like technically he got her. Like she is walking around clueless in the dark. She did find Catherine before he turns off the lights, and she's like, "I'm with the FBI. The more team is coming. They're not. Like just everything's fine. Fuck you bitch. Get me out of this hole."
Fuck you bitch. Get me out of this hole. Yes,
Ah, oh, love
yes.
Catherine.
Love Catherine, right? So finally she takes a she takes a big old swing and
Yeah.
she manages to shoot him
Yep.
and he dies and somehow the cops are alerted. They come, they show up. Catherine walks out holding Precious.
Yeah.
Like they put her in the car holding Precious, and it just made me think. I'm like, is she gonna take that dog and like love
Well,
it?
her cat's dead from being hungry,
Yeah,
so
that's
now
true. It's
she
been
has
a
a
while.
dog.
Yeah, absolutely. So we cut to this giant celebration. You know, Clarice has graduated. She caught a killer. Life is good.
Yeah, caught a serial killer. Way to start your career.
Woo!
I
Just
mean, you've
fantastic.
peaked now.
Yeah,
You're
I
probably not
know.
going to do it again, but
There's a giant cake involved. Yeah. And then
cake.
she gets a call from Hannibal, who is dressed like Panama Jack.
Panama Jack, yeah.
And he says,
Just blending.
"Yes, I'm on vacation and I'm having an old friend for dinner." And we see Chilton. And we're like,
Yeah, because Chilton sucked.
Chilton sucks, right?
Yeah.
Hot take. Yeah.
Hannibal Lecter sees me as his arch nemesis.
Chilton is an enemy in this film. He is a
Yeah.
villain in this film. So anyway, he sees Chilton and credits. We are done with Silence of the Lambs. It was so it like I said, this thing swept the Oscars.
Yeah.
And this was also it's funny to point out that Anthony Hopkins was actually this close to quitting acting because he had kind of done a character, he'd done some character roles. He had was in The Elephant Man, which was a huge deal. But since then, he really hadn't done anything that
Anything.
he thought of as of note until Silence of the Lambs came along and he vied for the part. And this invigorated his career. He
Yeah.
became huge after
And
this.
like we talk about like Jodie Foster, but
Yep.
back then, Jodie Foster was also a no name. She was like Taxi Driver, and then, there was that thing where, somebody was just trying to get her attention.
John
Kind of wish
Hinckley.
somebody was trying to get Jodie's attention now,
Just saying. Yeah, it was
If
actually
you get
she.
that joke, welcome to the
Yes.
show.
Hello.
Hello, you are safe here. Really wish
You.
somebody was just trying to get Jodie Foster's
Absolutely.
attention.
Why is somebody not trying to get Jodie Foster's attention
Wouldn't that
now?
just like
Oh,
she's
yes.
so great. More people should be trying to get some attention from
Jodie
Jodie
Foster's
Foster.
attention. Yes. So, yes, exactly. John Hinckley decided that in order to get Jodie Foster's attention, which he had seen the movie Taxi Driver way too many times, decided he was going to try and assassinate President Reagan, and didn't work out. He got put away, and so that is a that was a big thing. Well, so Jodie Foster was approached to do the sequel to this, or AKA the prequel, which is Red Dragon. And then there was Hannibal, and there was a bunch of other ones, but she was approached to do the sequel, and she felt that the direction in which they were going, which if you've seen the sequel, you know that the direction that they were going was more of a, how shall we put this, romantic one. She was like, yeah, I don't want any part of that. She's like, I don't want any part of that. So Anthony Hopkins, on the other hand, got like $1 million to go to the so he was like, no, I'm in. I'm riding the wave, baby. Riding the wave.
I love being Hannibal Lecter, especially for the $80 billion.
$80 billion, absolutely. So he did that.
I would be Hannibal's love interest for $80 billion,
Yeah, I
FYI.
mean,
And I'm not
nobody
going to
owes.
work on Monday, just so we're
Exactly.
clear.
So she was replaced by Julianne Moore. And they, so I saw Hannibal in the theater, but I don't remember anything about it. And I never saw Red Dragon. I know that has Ed Norton in it. I never saw that. I saw Manhunter, which is the 80s version of Red Dragon. And that, like, with Brian Cox and Michael Peterson, William Peterson. Nope. William Peterson from CSI? I don't know.
Sure.
Sure. Anyway, so yeah, that's it. And that was Silence of the Lambs. If you guys are looking for us online, we do have a new page, and that page is Manic Movie Monday Podcast. So follow us there. And as always,
Stay
stay manic. Woo! Okay, my computer is dying.
manic. Okay, love you. Bye.
Love you, bye.